Exodus is the story of God bringing his people out of bondage. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell shares how you can break the chains that enslave you.
God says if someone is so wise that they worship creation rather than the Creator, they got it mixed up. And in a country that's throwing away the Ten Commandments, and in a country that's refusing football coaches to pray with their teams, in a country that's saying, we know not the Lord, I want to challenge you this morning not to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ.
The story of Israel is the story of us today. We are God's people, and He has drawn us out of bondage into a personal relationship with Him. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Out of Bondage, we will learn the story of Exodus, grow in our awe and worship of God, and celebrate the one who can deliver us from the bondage of sin, fear, and guilt. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called God's Confirmation to Moses.
Well, all of us go through seasons of our lives where we have unmet expectations. We thought certain things would be different. We thought if we got saved, there would never be a problem in our lives. We thought perhaps that if we would witness for Jesus, that people would just immediately pray and accept Jesus as their Savior. And sometimes we think that things will go a little bit easier than they actually go in our lives. And when we look back at chapter 4 of the book of Exodus, we find there that Moses was called of God, and even from the very beginning, he had his doubts. He really wasn't convinced that God was able to use him, and we saw last week how God used various types of assurances to try to tell him, look it, you are my man. I'm going to use you for this project, and we saw that God said, what is in your hand? And he threw down a rod, and it became a snake, and he picked it up, and it became a rod again. And we saw how he put his hand into his bosom and pulled it out, and it was full of leprosy, and he put it back in, and it was cleansed. And God was giving him these signs to say, look, I am God, and I'm giving you these signs so that the children of Israel will know that you are from me and that my message is true. And this is how God worked in the Old and New Testament. The signs were not the most important aspect of God's revelation, but they were always a way to draw attention to his prophet or his preacher so that the word of God would be heard. And God was giving these assurances to Moses as he began his ministry. And yet, still Moses wondered, and he said, Lord, I don't have a very good ability to speak. And he said, my tongue is, it stammers and I struggle. And so even with that, I found quite amazing that even as Moses was giving that excuse, at that very moment, Aaron came walking in. And God said, Moses, here comes Aaron, and I'm going to tell you what you need to know, and you can tell Aaron. And Aaron can help you with getting the message out. He can be a voice in this matter and speaking out the truth. And so every time Moses had an excuse, God made a way. And God was giving his assurances to Moses. Well, now as we come to chapter 5, we have the very first instance where Moses is going to walk into Pharaoh and he is going to command him to let the people of God go. Well, let's notice as we begin this morning the confrontation. The Bible tells us in verse 1, afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Now, Pharaoh was not just going to let the Hebrew slaves go on a whim. It was going to take a confrontation. And let me just say this morning, and let me be very clear, that we need men and women who are willing to confront the culture today and who are willing to stand up and speak the truth for the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no way that Pharaoh was going to acquiesce, no way that he was going to give in unless there was a strong declaration made. And so oftentimes today, we see people with every cause in the world, marching in the streets, carrying their signs, passing their legislation, and yet we oftentimes see Christians unwilling to pass out a gospel tract. By the way, how many of you believe that the death, burial, and resurrection is still the greatest news on planet Earth? And I got to tell you something. In life, I have learned that there is good, better, and best. And there's a lot of good things we can do with our time. But I believe the very best thing that we can do with our time is to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know some people are not comfortable with a soul-winning church, a gospel-singing church, a conservative church. And I know there are many churches that are more on the rock and roll profile and the entertainment profile and kind of the less and less profile. But may I say to you that America does not need Christianity light. America needs churches that will confront this culture with the need for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Moses was a man who, like many of us, was not confrontational by nature. He did not want to pass out the gospel tract to Pharaoh. He didn't want to get involved and get into the mix. And yet God had commanded him, and God had said, I will go with you. By the way, the Lord Jesus has said to us, lo, I am with you always. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? And so we see this confrontation. And I want you to notice that it was a confrontation, first of all, with purpose. And I want you to see this as Moses comes in. The Bible tells us that he told Pharaoh, that is to say, he is commanding Pharaoh. He is not requesting permission. And God's message was being declared with boldness and clarity. And Moses says, let my people go, that we may hold a feast in the wilderness. Here we see that God had a particular message. They were to hold a feast or a joyful fellowship or a time of worship in the wilderness. And you'll find 36 different times in Exodus and Deuteronomy this word feast. And it speaks about the sacrifice that they would make to the Lord in the wilderness. And so we see that God had a very specific purpose. He didn't just want his children to stop working, but he wanted them to go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, and there he wanted them to honor him and to worship him. And so we see that Moses declared God's message. There's one interesting part of the message that I want to mention, though. In the declaration of the message, Moses did not give the complete revelation that God had given to him. There was a lapse here in Moses' leadership. And although he stated what the Lord told him to say concerning, let my people go, there was one aspect of the message that he did not give. And I want you to see that, if you would. In your notes in Exodus 4 and 21, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Now, God was pretty clear in what he wanted Moses to say. He said, Moses, I want you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. I want you to tell him to let them go 3 days' journey. And I want you to tell them that they are my son. Now watch this. And I want you to tell them that if Pharaoh does not let my son go, that I will take the life of his son. Now, how many of you would agree with me? The last part of that message would be the tougher part to say, right? I mean, it's hard enough to walk into Pharaoh's house. It's hard enough to say, let my people go. Now you're going to say, and if you don't, your son's going to die. And that's the part Moses forgot to say. Many times, if we're not careful with our human tendency, we don't want to be offensive. It's not always easy to say to someone that all have sinned. And many churches today are removing the offensive aspects of the Bible and just getting into more of the positive relationship things. But the fact of the matter is, you don't have a relationship with God unless you're willing to admit that you're a sinner and that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And I just want you to see that even Moses struggled with the difficult part of that message, and Moses forgot that aspect when he spoke to Pharaoh. Now, believe me, he's going to get to it later because God is coaching him along. And how many of you are thankful for the patience of God with his people? And even with his leaders, and even with those of us who witness for Christ. So we see the purpose was very, very clear. But I want you to see the confrontation not only had purpose, but secondly, it had parameters. That God had a specific message that Moses was going to give. And I want you to see in verse 3, it says these words. And they said, "The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with sword." Now, I love what they say here. The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. This is not our message. This is God's message. And God has given some parameters, Pharaoh. And the first parameter is that he wants us to go 3 days' journey. Would you say that phrase with me, please? 3 days' journey. Remember that in your mind. Let's say it one more time. 3 days' journey. That's going to be a theme the next few weeks, okay? And I want you to remember that God had a specific parameter, a specific instruction. They were to go 3 days' journey. And the reason that 3 days' journey is important is because, listen now, God has always wanted his people to separate from the world. How many of you understand? Egypt had 2,000 gods. Egypt is a type of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Everything about Egypt was displeasing to God. God says, if you're going to worship me, I want you to get out of Egypt. I want you to go 3 days' journey. I want you to get away from all of that because I want to be the sole attention of your life. I want you to worship me. So 3 days' journey always is a symbol. It is always a statement of separation. God says, I want my people to come out. In fact, in Exodus 8:25, he says, go sacrifice to the Lord your God in the land. In other words, not in the middle of Egypt, but out in the land. Get out of the world. Get out of the way. And in Exodus 8:27, Moses replies and says, we will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. Now, folks, I cannot emphasize this enough. As we see the culture all around us and the customs of our land, customs that are given over oftentimes to degrading behavior towards people and to a lackadaisical attitude towards God. And in a culture that oftentimes, I met a man just the other day, and he's standing at his door, you know, with his cigar in one hand, his wine in one hand, his blaring rock music, and all of his earrings and so forth. And he's telling me about the church he attends and how comfortable he is in that church. Listen, the goal is not for the church to make the world comfortable. The goal is that we would come out from the world and be separate unto the Lord. God says, I don't want you to stay here and adapt. And many churches are adapting to the culture. But we see it in many other ways. And I'm just illustrating that God has not called us to conform to the world. He has called us to conform to himself. And so people are either going to come out or they're going to blend in. And a lot of people today want a blend in Christianity because, like Moses, we don't want to stand out and hear the whole truth. And God is saying, look, I'm not calling my people to blend in with Egypt. I'm calling my people to come out of Egypt. And that doesn't mean that every member of this church has an exact the same lifestyle or preferences, or that every aspect of your personal sanctification is on the same exact line. But it does mean that your life is distinctive in this world, and that people can know that you are a Christian because you have come 3 days' journey in your spiritual experience, and that you are standing out for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God calls us to come out. And then the Bible is very clear for us as Christians. Hebrews 10:25, what does it say? Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. God says, I want my people to come out and assemble. Now, the word church is the Greek word ekklesia, and some of you know what it means. Say it with me. It means a what? A called out assembly. So how many of you see the parallel between the Old Testament and the New Testament? God says, I want you to come 3 days' journey. And God says, my church is a called out assembly. That's why I believe we need to be careful that we don't adapt a worldly attitude in our worship, but that we recognize this is not Joe's Bar and Grill. This is Lancaster Baptist Church. And we are here to worship the living God this morning. So he says, I want you to go 3 days' journey. And then he says, secondly, I want you to make a sacrifice. I want you to sacrifice for me. Now, just in a quick synopsis I've given you in your notes this morning, what was the purpose of the sacrifice? Why would they go 3 days' journey? And why was it so oftentimes with the tabernacle and with the temple that an animal was slain in the part of sacrifice that they observed? And there were several reasons, but three high-end reasons. First, to look forward to the Lamb of God. You see, every time a lamb was slain and every time the blood was shed in sacrifice, it was always a picture or a type of the Lamb of God that was coming. It was a showing forth, a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. John 1:29, John the Baptist, the Bible said, and the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Let's say that phrase together. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. So we see that Jesus Christ is the ultimate, is the final Lamb of God. And all of the Old Testament lambs that were slain were a picture of the Lamb to come. Secondly, they were to go out 3 days' journey, and they were to worship God with thanksgiving. Psalm 107:22, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. And thirdly, they were to come out to sacrifice, and they were to make offerings in the Old Testament unto the Lord. 2 Samuel 24:24, and the king said unto Aruna, speaking of David the king, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. David was going to worship God there at the place of Aruna. And Aruna offered to give him the property. And David said, no, I'm not going to take it as a gift. I don't want to offer to the Lord that which cost me nothing. I want to sacrifice to the Lord. And this was the purpose, was to give to the Lord. Now, may I say to you as a church, to me as well, that as we are God's people that are called out from this world, and I realize today that God, as he has called us out, has a purpose for our lives, and that his purpose for us is also to worship him. It's also to be a distinct people, as Christian people, to come out 3 days' journey, to come out and be separate, as the Bible says, as a called out people, and to live for him and to live a sacrificial life for him. What are some of the ways we can do that? I believe this may also be in your notes, and let me just throw some things to you this morning that would help you to realize our purpose in worship. First of all, notice 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. Now let me stop right here. God speaks of us as Christians as living stones, right? We are referred to here as a lively stone, and each of us as a living stone is making up what God calls a spiritual house. So we are together a spiritual house made up of living stones. But then he says something else about us here. He says in verse number 5 that we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Excuse me. He says that we are a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. So there's three descriptives of the Christian in 1 Peter 2:5. We are lively stones, we are a spiritual house, and we are a holy priesthood. Now, someone says, wait a minute, I'm not a priest, okay? Now, let me help you with something. Every one of us can come to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the high priest. And God says that as believers, we make up a holy priesthood. Why does God call us a holy priesthood? All right, let me show you why. Look at this in 1 Peter 2:5. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, there was the high priest. He made the sacrifices. He said the prayers on the Day of Atonement. He was sort of a mediator. And in the New Testament, God says, you are the holy priesthood, and you can make sacrifices, and you can make prayers, and you can come directly to the Lord. Now, some of you were saved out of Roman Catholicism, where you were taught that a man would say the prayers for you, and a man would give you the wafer, and literally taught you that that wafer became the body of Christ, and the juice became the blood of Christ. And what were they saying? They were saying, we are the priest, we are the mediator between you and God. And you know what God says? God says, because of Jesus, there's nobody between you and God. You yourself are a lively stone. You yourself are a living priesthood. And you yourself can bring sacrifice to God Almighty. How many of you are thankful for that? That's why we call it the New Testament. The New Testament. The New Covenant. Now, the Old Covenant, the priest offered the sacrifice. The New Covenant, the New Testament, we offer. Say, Pastor Chappell, what can I offer unto the Lord? That's a good question. That's a good question. What can I offer unto the Lord? I remember witnessing years ago to a lady in China. She had never heard about Christ. She had never heard about the death, burial, and resurrection. And as I spent an entire day, she was a tour guide, she knew English, witnessing to her. Finally, she said to me, she said, sir, if you believe that your God died for you, how do you worship him? How do you worship him? She just figured that if a God would die for you, that certainly you would worship him. And that's a good question. How do you worship him? As a believer priest, how can we worship God? Let me give you two or three of the ways we find in the Bible. First of all, when we sing unto the Lord in church, Hebrews 13:15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Notice this now, the sacrifice of praise. So God says, I want your worship, your words to be a sacrifice of praise. Notice, it's praise to whom? To God continually, all right? Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 13:15. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, Hebrews 13:15, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. All right, are you there now? All right, are we there yet? Let's say it now. Ready? Hebrews 13:15. Let's read the whole verse. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So how can we that are living priests and a spiritual house, how can we offer spiritual sacrifices? Well, when we give him thanks, when we sing thanks, when we give thanks to God continually. Let me just make a side note here. The singing at Lancaster Baptist Church is fundamentally to God. We used to have a sign in the back hallway as we walked in, and it says, you are singing to an audience of one. And that's the Lord.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at allchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.